I'm Will Harris, and today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by White Oak Pastures. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. With my Below the Mason Dixon charm, I spotlight the culture of the food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking gardeners from Garden of Eden and Rock. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, our live call-in number is 718-497-2128. Okay, folks, so I've been gone. I was gone last week, no Hot Grease. But boy, I was inspired because I was down south. I went to New Orleans, and I was in my home state of Georgia. Oh, my gosh. I have to do a blog post or something because I did so many great things. I had so much great food. First stop was New Orleans. You've heard me talk about New Orleans the planned New Orleans trip. I went to a pralines conference. My God, I had so many pralines, and I came back with bags and bags of pralines and found some of the best used bookstores where I picked up a ton of used cookbooks. What else? That's just one highlight of New Orleans. So I was in Atlanta and I was in Georgia for probably about 6 days. Shout out and thank you to the Westin Buckhead Atlanta. I hosted a Brooklyn Meets Atlanta happy hour, and I had all of the food stars from Atlanta to come out. It was really, really, really exciting. And all the people from BK, Morris Kitchen, Southern Pantry, with love from Brooklyn, Tasty Morsels. Who am I forgetting? People who gave me stuff to put in the giveaways. Oh, Heritage Foods USA. Thank you so much. I'm going to write a blog post up about all the happenings that happened in Georgia. But I can just tell you, I left there totally inspired, did a ton of research for an upcoming project that I'm going to announce pretty soon. That was my Georgia trip. And I'm really super excited about today's show because it's kind of a continuation of the whole Georgia thing and my trip to Georgia and food and all that stuff. So we're actually going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with the gardeners from Garden of Eden. And new music, all original music here on Heritage Radio Network .org today. So check it out. Listen, we'll be back in a sec. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. So, guys, I am excited, super excited to have three fabulous, really, I'm going to call y'all Southern, I can't call y'all girls, Southern women here in the studio. We have Miss Arnetha Singleton, a native of Fayetteville, North Carolina, Miss Virginia Cunningham, and Miss Joan Bryant. She's originally from South Carolina. And Miss Cunningham, you're born and raised in Charleston, the hot new city. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Thank you.
I'm glad you came. So we were talking. We had just a fabulous lunch at Roberta's, and we talked about so much. I should have recorded that. That should have been the show because we talked about so more much. Miss Virginia, so I'm going to start with you first.
Okay.
Charleston.
Yes.
we were talking about the seafood from Charleston. What fish were we talking about earlier?
Pogies, catfish, and crab.
Ah, so do you remember going to a fish market or something in Charleston?
No. I remember my father would go to a pond and he would muddy it and just pick up the fish with the bucket.
Oh,
and
wow.
Bring it back, and we just clean them and eat them.
Wow. And this is what, I don't remember eating a lot of porgy. I remember eating a lot of whiting, which we were talking about earlier. Whiting is kind of, tilapia is the new whiting. But the porgies, they have a lot of what in them, Miss Cunningham?
A lot of bone.
Yeah. And it's so funny. Tell me if you remember, I remember seeing kids when I was young, growing up in Athens, Georgia, eating fish. Do you remember being super young eating a porgy with all those bones in it?
No, I didn't. They always have bone. Always bone.
Okay, so Charleston, I haven't been there in a while. Do you get back there often?
No.
Okay. It's completely different now, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, it is.
Do you still have family in Charleston?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. And I don't think I mentioned this before, but you moved to New York City in what year?
55.
Oh, wow. 55 and you haven't been back?
Yes, I've been back.
Not to live, though.
Not to live, but to visit.
Okay. Okay. So, we have our Charleston lady here. Now, we're going to move to Joan, Miss Joan. We were talking about Greenville, South Carolina. And I was saying, who do I know from Greenville, South Carolina? And what did you tell me?
Jesse Jackson.
There you go. You went to high school with Jesse Jackson?
Yes.
I don't think a lot of people know he's from Greenville.
No, well, he... Well, you know, Greenville is where he went to school, but he was out somewhere out, you know, look out, like Brooklyn and Canarsie, you know.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay, so he was living kind of like outside of Greenville.
Yeah, uh-huh,
right. Because Greenville is really considered the town. Gotcha. Well, you were telling me this wonderful story earlier where we were talking about pokeweed.
Yeah.
And this one, I think when I said this, you guys are like, oh yeah, she really is a Southern girl. Pokeweed is, you tell folks what it is.
It's a wild green that we used to go out, you know, not, people didn't necessarily grow it in their gardens, but they picked it outside, you know, in the like woods and so forth, you know.
And you know what they call that?
Memory.
They call that now in Brooklyn and New York City foraging.
Foraging,
yes. I've had Lita Meredith here in Brooklyn. She does foraging tours. People can pay to go to identify. Yes, Miss John. They pay.
What?
Yes. Yes, they pay to go, and I don't know if pokeweed, we were talking about this earlier, you don't really see it here in New York.
Oh, no, I don't. Well, to my knowledge, I've never, you know, after I left South Carolina, never heard of it anymore.
Yeah.
Until we just brought it up, unless we are just talking about it, you know.
So, you hadn't heard of pokeweed in 50-some years.
That's
until I brought it up.
Yeah, no, you know, like my family, if anybody is around, you know, we know about the stuff that we used to do when we were kids, you know. Yeah. But to be here, to know that there was a green called pork, a poke green, no.
You mentioned
poke salad.
Poke salad, exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Poke salad.
It comes back.
You mentioned another green, too. Tender greens. And I'm thinking that must be the same thing as creasy. But what I find very interesting is you brought some of that back to your garden here in Brooklyn, in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, and you're growing it now.
Absolutely. And I, my cousin who lives in Columbia, South Carolina, he had a big plot out in the back, out in his backyard. Beautiful greens, and they were very, very tasty.
So how do you think that's going to work, that green is going to work here? You think it's going to grow well?
I believe so. I'm praying so.
When you think it's going to come up in the fall?
I don't know. It will probably come up in the fall because actually we really did planting late
Mm-hmm.
And I just put that down in the ground, you know, about what? It hasn't even been a month.
Okay, yeah, so it'll probably come with the weather, like I was saying before, I was in Georgia and New Orleans. It was like 90 plus degrees, and it's like 7 degrees. We all have on jackets and long sleeves. And I was eating tomatoes. Squash was everywhere. So, yeah, I'm just realizing how, you know, different the climates are and how some foods just can't make it here or whatever. So, thank you, Miss South Carolina.
You're quite welcome.
And, you know, if you're just tuning in to Hot Grease right now or you fast forwarded the podcast, you didn't want to hear my little recap, we are talking with the three gardeners. I'm going to say y'all are the head honchos at the Garden of Eden that is located at Fort Greene, Brooklyn, and Ingersoll Housing, part of NYCHA. So last but not least, Miss Singleton, we were having a deep conversation earlier about you being from Fayetteville, North Carolina. But you're saying Fayetteville because that's the large town. But where are you really from, Miss Singleton?
On the outskirts. Oh. I'm between Fayetteville and a little town called St. Paul's.
Okay.
Okay. But our mail always comes to Fayetteville, so we say we're from Fayetteville.
Ah, okay, so that's how that goes. Okay, speaking of mail, you told me the most amazing story. I mean, I'm just thinking about some articles I read in the New York Times the other day about Juneteenth. Tomorrow is Juneteenth, and a lot of you guys who are listening to Hot Grease, the four of us in this room, we probably know Juneteenth as, you know, homecomings at church when people go back for homecomings.
Yes.
Or, you know, when they have the church picnic. They call those, the origin of those are like emancipation or freedom. Freedom days.
Amen.
But so you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Miss?
I know what
you. So speaking of mail and Juneteenth, there was an article in the New York Times about how these gardens are planting in some historic sites, particularly one in New Orleans, seeds that are indigenous of black people in the South of West Africa. And when I heard you out there just tell me that your sister is doing what, and what do you have to pick up from the post office today?
No, I'm not going to the post office today, but she told me they were there.
What did she send you?
She sent me mustard seeds, turnip seeds, carrots, string beans.
And she sent these from Fayetteville? She sent them from Fayetteville, North Carolina? Wow.
Yes, and because many of the gardeners, we can't find the seeds here. So some of the gardeners asked me, would I call my sister and ask her to send seeds? So we did. So she did, you know. And I just like to make a statement about the collard greens. They said that the collard greens, the collard green seeds. They said that the collard greens is something like the Polk salad.
That's not,
But something like the Polk salad is not really, really a vegetable. Yeah, so that's why we were told we shouldn't eat it.
Well, so for folks, Miss, we can have another show around you, Miss Singleton, because Miss Singleton is a member of the Nation of Islam.
Yeah.
And so I've talked about it here on the show before, How to Eat to Live, and some of the Nation of Islam really was one of the first organizations that I would say that was really doing for real food justice, social activism work, telling people to plant your own food, feed yourself, eating a certain way. And if folks really want to find out more, Miss Singleton is talking about the weed, you need to read How to Eat to Live.
Right.
You go straight online and buy the book.
Yes. And also, we have homes. We have our own bank. We have a lot of stuff. We have, so far, we only have one airplane. Okay.
She's talking about the Nation of Islam.
18-wheeler trucks going back and forth.
So I have to get, your Minister of Agriculture was here in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn, you know, not at the Brooklyn Food Coalition conference. The Black Farmers and Urban Gardeners had a conference a few years ago. So he was there and he did an entire talk about gardening and black gardeners and particularly the Nation of Islam. So I have to get him back. I have to get him in the studio and then you come and talk about the gardening, the gardening stuff. So I just want to hear you guys' thoughts before. See how we've been talking? We've been talking 15 minutes. It doesn't even seem like this that long. I want to get your thoughts, Miss Joan, on did you realize that there's this whole movement amongst young people to go back to the land to garden, even if it's going back down south or doing things like they're doing at Roberta's and doing rooftop farms? And how do you feel about that?
Well, to your first question, it never would have dawned on me until I met Myrtle Avenue Revitalization Program. And I met Cassie and Meredith and all of the gang there that worked there with the gardeners. That's when we first met them.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I first met them. So, no, I would never have thought of it.
Yeah, it's very interesting because things that you have been doing that's just ingrained in your soul.
Right.
It's a whole phenomenon.
It is. It's exciting because years ago you would never have heard of young people picking up any kind of activities like this. Mm-hmm. You know, they would have thought that if you said anything about farming, and especially about farming on the rooftops, and you know, in little square places in the community, they would have thought you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people see it now, and it's catching on.
Mm-hmm.
It's catching on all over the world.
So, Ms. Virginia, I have a question for you, speaking about young people. Over the years of you living in Ingersoll, have you seen or witnessed any young folks who maybe have been from the South and they brought those, either the foods that they were eating with them over the years, or maybe, you know, plant a little garden, a little windowsill? Were you able to witness that in living in Ingersoll and being a person from the South?
Yes. For quite some time, I always have a little garden.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
always. And I always, you know, have my children, Johnny, with me.
Okay, so all of your kids know about growing some food.
That's right.
They know about that good old Charleston food, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, passing the traditions along. So, ladies, our time is going by so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You have to definitely come back by. I just want to say to you guys, I am... Out of all of the shows that I've done over 100 shows, just to have you guys just sit outside at Roberta's, eat pizza, and we really, you know, you're talking, you guys could be my grandmother. Mm-hmm. Really, man, can I say great-grandmother? Y'all look young.
That's right.
So you say great-grandmother? Uh-huh. I mean, just I'm really honored to have you guys in the studio to come and really talk about and shed light that this ain't nothing new.
Uh-uh.
It's nothing new. So I want
to
say,
I would like to share something else. Mark, Cassie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They trained some mm-hmm. of us to be community chefs.
Yeah. Ah.
And so I really enjoy that program because I'm a people person. And I love talking to the community because I've always been into health. You know, and I see so many people in my community sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure if I could share what I know about healthy food, that's like, it just makes me feel so good, mm-hmm. you know.
And shout out to Mark. Cassie is sitting in the studio.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She's sitting in the studio not saying a word, but Mark
has
Myrtle
done a great job in Fort Greene and Clinton Hill.
We make a good team.
That's MARP right. is, if you're listening to Hot Grease here in Brooklyn or other parts of the country, MARP is a, I'm going to say, a development cooperational mm-hmm. organization based in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, and it's Myrtle Avenue Revitalization Project. Shout out to them. Thank you, MARP, for all the work you're doing. And thank you, ladies, Miss Virginia, Miss Joan, Miss Singleton. Thank you so, so much for coming on Hot Grease.
Thank
on Here
you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
You have to come back.
Yes, we will.
Okay, mm-hmm. listeners, keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Type and Tell.
Mm-hmm.
White Oak Pastures is a 146-year-old multi-generational family farm that works in cooperation with nature to produce artisan meat that is safe, healthy, nutritious, and good to eat. Without fail, we ensure that our production practices are economically practical, ecologically sustainable, and that the animals are always humanely treated. We never falter in our determination to conduct our business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by myself, and our executive producer here at Heritage Radio Network is Jack Inslee. Today I'm being engineered by Joe G, and this program is being sponsored by one of my favorite farms in Georgia, White Oak Pastures. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, remember show and tell in grade school? Here on Hot Grease, we have the grown-up version, type and tell. We shout out the latest discovery. And today, we're talking ROC, which is Restaurant Opportunity Centers. And we have in the studio Raul. I'm about to screw your last name.
Okay. Sexena.
Oh, Sexena. And Jamel Freeman. Jamel is a member of ROC, and Raul is the policy organizer. Welcome to Hot Grease, Type and Tell.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, first of all, I think I know what ROC is, but yeah, refresh my memory.
Sure. So, ROC, I'm the policy organizer with ROC New York. ROC is a national organization, but here in New York, ROC started here in New York. Like so many things in New York, we started with September 11, 2001. We started as kind of a center of support for the workers at the restaurant Windows on the World, which was on top of the World Trade Center.
Uh-huh.
And those workers got together and formed ROC as a support center for them as they went out and found new jobs at other restaurants, and as they realized when they went out into the city, the restaurant industry wasn't what they thought it was. Their experience at Windows on the World was very different because they were actually unionized up there. But across the city and across the country, only 1% of restaurant workers are unionized. So we kind of, ROC started as a support center for them, and it has grown over the past 10 years to organize restaurant workers across the city. We have about 5,000 members, all of whom are restaurant workers. And our goal is to organize those restaurant workers and empower them to improve conditions in the restaurant industries for the workers.
So you guys are 12 years old.
Correct.
Tell me about stats and member profiles. The first year, how many members did you start with? I'm putting you on the spot. Well, tell me this, yeah, then. How many members do you currently have?
We have about 5,000 members.
Oh,
and
wow.
And our members, you know, this is New York City, the most cosmopolitan city in the world. And if you go to a restaurant here, you can see that the restaurant industry is as diverse as the world, and so
is
our membership. Our members are largely people of color, largely women, largely immigrant. And so we definitely reflect the diversity of the city and the world.
So would you say that New York City, an organization like ROC, is the only place in the country that has this many members and as effective? Are there other organizations in large cosmopolitan cities around the country that are similar to ROC?
There are a number of different workers' centers around the country, but for restaurant workers, ROC is the restaurant workers' center.
The creme de la creme.
Yeah.
The creme de la creme.
Then there's also ROC United,
uh-huh,
which, I mean, I don't know a lot about what ROC United does, but outside of New York City, I think that they do larger coalitions that would probably involve other cities
yeah.
And people in the restaurant industry.
I love your glasses, Mr. Nice.
Thank you.
Jamel, member of Rock.
I didn't bring my my switch out, so these are shades.
They're hot. So you're a member of Rock.
I am.
So can you tell us where you work or what you do?
Well, I've had a love and hate, off and on relationship with the restaurant industry for the last like 12 or 13 years. Yeah. Currently, I'm more or less working in you know, activism. Cool. And right now I'm just doing a part-time job with the CSA while trying to get as many.
Which CSA?
It's called Local Roots.
Yeah, I've heard of them, totally.
Yeah, they're pretty good. So I don't want to do a plug for them. I don't know if...
You just did a plug. You just said Local Roots, so the plug is done.
The plug is done.
So let me ask you this. Was there a defining moment when you're like, oh, I need to join Rock? Did something happen in your restaurant industry job? Or did you see something and you're like, what the hell? Something ain't right about this.
Well, there wasn't really a catalyst that pushed me in the direction of Rock. But, the things that were happening in the restaurant industry definitely bothered me from early on. And I actually wanted to be more involved in food justice issues. But through word of mouth, I heard about Rock. And out of curiosity, I checked them out. And I felt like I still have a lot of passion toward food justice issues.
Yeah.
But I can relate a lot more to some of the things that happen to restaurant workers. And I think Rock is doing a great job of trying to appease these things.
So I have to ask this question. I'm going to direct this question to Raul. Raul, I remember, I think, at the beginning of the year, and I would like to say here on Hot Grease, we're way ahead of the curve in terms of trends.
I believe it.
But someone said that worker rights, food worker rights, was going to be the hot button issue and what you're going to see written about this year and to come. Do you think that workers' restaurant rights are the new green? It's the new green, you know, it's the new organic. That's kind of crazy question how I worded it. But Jamel, okay, all right then.
I'm pointing to Jamel.
Well, I think part of the thing is, me, outside of all this, we've discussed, you know, bringing together, you know, the change in our food system as well as workers' rights. Because right now, in sort of the zeitgeist in the food system, we're focusing on there being, you know, attention to where our food's coming from, making sure our food is healthy, it's sustainable, you know, it's environmentally sound, it's not making large impact. But there isn't enough of a focus on the workers involved and the people that bring these things. So there's actually a piece in the New York Times not too long ago that Mark Bittman wrote that kind of sort of coined the term, you know, the new green.
Did I read that?
Possibly.
Probably. I mean, there's so many articles about it, you know, that only just kind of, in my opinion, only just scratch the surface. I mean, it's like broad strokes.
Right. I mean, because this is like, it's fairly new that it's coming in into the focus. But we don't want this to be a separate issue. We want this to be a part of the whole thing of sustainability. Because, I mean, how can you have your food be sustainable, but the workers that are bringing it to you are not being sustainable or not, you know, being invested in?
As a person who, you know, I'm rooted in social justice, always worked in nonprofits, I get both parts. I get the food culture part and I get the justice part. Mm-hmm. But I will have to say, as an observer, that most people, they have no idea what's going on behind the kitchen. And with that said, one of the biggest things and one of the biggest initiatives you guys have going on now is the paid sick days initiative.
Right? Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about that so folks can type and tell?
Yeah, sure. Sure. You know, I mean, while we're on the topic, you know, as a preface to this paid sick days topic, I would also like to say that Rock New York is a part of this great alliance called the Food Chain Workers Alliance. And it's an alliance of organizations and worker centers that cover the entire food chain, so from farm worker to server at a restaurant, and everyone in between. And they actually came out with this really great report a couple of weeks ago called The Hands That Feed Us, about the issues that workers in the food chain face, and what we as consumers, or we as policymakers, or we as workers can do to improve those conditions. And one of the main policy recommendations in that report was making sure that all members of the food chain, including restaurant workers, have paid sick days, I don't know if you know this, but 90% of restaurant workers do not get paid sick days.
That's a damn shame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean for the person? That means as a worker, either I go into work sick and serve food while I'm sneezing into it, or, you know, prepare food as my nose is dripping. It's not only healthy for me, but it's not only unhealthy for me as a worker, but it's unhealthy for the consumer and for my coworkers as well. Or, you know, I could go into work to get my wages for that day, or I can decide to stay home. And if I decide to stay home, I won't get paid that day. I might not be able to make rent, and my boss can fire me. There's no protection. So, you know, Jamel can talk a little bit more about this, but what one of the things that we're working on is making sure that, at least here in New York City, where we live, where we're organizing workers, all workers should have access to paid sick days.
Okay. So we're running out of time, but I want to, this is my last question, Jamel, or either Raul can answer it. So, first of all, give us the website if folks want to find out more about the Paid Sick Days Initiative, mm-hmm. how they can tweet articles or this report. Where can they find us?
The workers petition blog through Tumblr. Neither one of us brought the URL, but
it's just go to theworkerspetition.com.
Okay.
Theworkerspetition.com. It's Rock member created. It's a collection of stories about restaurant workers and how paid sick days affects them. And you can also sign a petition that's on the website.
Are you guys on Facebook and Twitter?
We are. Yes. Restaurant Opportunity Center of New York on Facebook, and ROC_NY at Twitter. Please follow us and like us.
And one other thing, very quickly, if people are like, ooh, restaurant worker issues, food, what should I go? Do you have any quick recommendations beyond the website in terms of books, documentaries, whatever that really mm-hmm. shine a light? I know there have been a lot to come out over the last few years. Quickly, what's your favorite one?
There's a great one that's coming out in February of 2013 called Behind the Kitchen Door, written by Saru Jayaraman, who is one of the founders of Rock.
Oh, cool.
And if you go to our blog, theworkerspetition.com, you can see a trailer for the book, a great trailer that we created at Colors Restaurant in New York City that is for the book. So please,
Jamel, you have a favorite very quickly for listeners who are listening?
I think Raul got it. Okay. That's the big one.
All right, people. Type and tell everyone about Rock NYC. Jamel, Raul, thank you so much for coming by
Hot
Grease on
Hair
Radio Network. Listeners, thank you as always for tuning in. Remember, you can join me live every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time at heritageradionetwork.org. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The preacher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.